Let's open with hymn number 93. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Be with you.
And with thy
spirit.
pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst suffer thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, to become a stranger and sojourner in Egypt for our sakes, and didst lead him safely home to his fatherland, mercifully grant that we poor sinners who are strangers and sojourners in this perilous world may soon be called home to our true fatherland, the kingdom of heaven, where we shall live in eternal glory and joy through the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday after Christmas is found in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, the 1st through the 10th verse. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of 1 Peter, the 12th through the 19th verse. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what shall be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." Here ends the epistle lesson. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Thou, O Lord, art our Father and our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Hallelujah. Holy Gospel is found in the second chapter of Matthew, the 13th through the 23rd verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and he dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Here ends the Gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We now confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn 125.
Oh, yeah.
grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 4th chapter of James, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, the new year of the world and of the church do not coincide, and yet there's a happy consistency in the season which we enjoy now and the beginning of the new year. Yesterday we celebrated the circumcision and name of Jesus. It so happens that New Year's Day sits in the middle of the time of the manifestation of Christ, the 12 days of Christmas which lead into Epiphany. In fact, on the very day when Jesus makes his first appearance to the outside world and begins his life as a child of Israel, under the ordinances and promises of God. For the world, the time of grace began when Jesus was circumcised. It was then that he officially took the place of men under God's law and became our substitute in all things that God had commanded. How remarkable that the day on which the world observes a new year is the very day when Jesus was manifested to the world. New Year's Day is not unique in this regard. The calendar of all of history turns a new page when our Lord was manifested as the Son of God, who was sent to take away our sins. And so the years are divided as the time before Christ, but not the time after Christ, because all the years that follow his birth are years of our Lord. For he who first appeared as a child and was manifested to the world through the teaching of the apostles continues to rule all things, even when he is not seen by men. So when we describe our time in the coming year as the year of our Lord, 2010, we remind ourselves that all things that may happen in this coming year happen under the direction and care of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if there's one temptation that is common to men at the beginning of the year, it is to think that we can make all sorts of plans for the future to better ourselves in the new year in ways that we could not or did not do in the old, without once giving a thought as to whether our plans are a part of the will of the Lord, or indeed if even we will be alive to fulfill them. It is indeed the Lord's year. And then surely he must have something to say in the matter. It is not surprising that the world, who does not believe in God, should make plans and resolutions for the new year without giving a single thought to God's will. Why should they consider what they don't believe? But we who, more than other men, have a reason to mark this time as a new beginning should be very wary lest we also forget why our year is new. It is new for us because God has come to us in human flesh to cleanse us from our sins. It is new because now our Lord Jesus Christ rules among us to establish our place in God's kingdom as his sons and daughters. But since that time when Jesus shall finish that work and redeem our bodies in the resurrection may be a long way off, we still have to make plans for our immediate future. Namely, what shall we do with this coming year? It is foolish to go through life without such plans. Jesus even used the failure of men to make proper plans as an example in his parables when he described the foolishness of a man who builds a tower but doesn't bother to check whether he has enough money or materials to finish what he starts. But so also, in the same book, Luke chapter 12, our Lord warns us against the foolishness of planning without giving any thought to our souls, when he describes the rich man who had a great harvest and then rejoiced that he could live a carefree life when in truth he was going to die that very night. And so, even as we are sure of our place in the kingdom of God in the life to come, we should also behave as his sons and daughters in the life that we have now. The lesson which our Lord wishes us to learn from this scripture is not whether we should or should not make plans for the future. You do not need the Bible to tell you to plan. The lesson is here that when you plan, you should remember that everything you do in this life could end at any moment. You can set all sorts of projects in motion, and you may well fail before they have hardly begun, for you do not know what the will of the Lord is for tomorrow, or the next day, or month, or year. And so for all that you set out to do in this coming year, do not put your trust in your own resources and your plans. But at all times remember that it is only by God's will that you live another day. We begin in our pride to say, today or tomorrow, we are going to go into such and such a city and we're going to spend a year there. We're going to go buy and sell and we're going to make a profit. Don't we all set out to do just such a thing? We may not plan to move to another city, but we lay out our future in just such a way and say, this is how I'm going to make money for the next year. I'm going to invest and it's going to all go very well. The Apostle James responds, hold on a minute there. Aren't you forgetting something? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We cannot even take our life tomorrow or in the next moment for granted. How much less can we presume that all our other plans will surely have success? Because it is only by our Lord's will that we accomplish anything. It is the height of arrogance to think otherwise. Without constantly acknowledging that God's will may defeat everything that you plan, all that you plan is boasting. It may be God's will that you fail entirely, that all that you purpose to do comes to nothing. If that is what happens, then you should be ready and willing to say, so be it. If that's the Lord's will, then I shall fail. And that would be better for me. But only the Christian can say such a thing and say it with confidence. Because you know that you are a child of God, you also know that your life in this world is not measured by your success in this world, but it is measured entirely in Jesus Christ. The full success and purpose of your life will only be revealed when Jesus comes again to raise the dead and judge the world. And then you will be his dear child in body and soul. That is the success that God has promised you. But as for this world, he has promised you no such success. Indeed, he's promised you that you will live under the cross, as we heard in our epistle lesson. And yet, to live under the cross is far better anyway. It is better to live and die under the cross of Jesus Christ than to live with great purpose and success in this life and then to die forever in hell. We begin and end our lives under the cross of Jesus. Jesus shows us in his life that God's way of counting success is utterly different than our own. Because by any measure which the world might use, Jesus himself was a failure. He was born into a poor family and lived in poverty his whole life. He gained a few disciples here and there, such as the shepherds who came when he was born, or the scholars from the East who traveled to visit him. But his good start was cut short when he was forced to flee to Egypt because he'd already been marked as a criminal by King Herod. Before Jesus could even speak, Herod wanted him dead. But Jesus was able to return some years later, and eventually he began his ministry, and he gathered a number of disciples to him, and that number continued to grow, and it looked like things were finally starting to turn around for Jesus, At one point he had hundreds who believed in him, but it all went downhill, as we hear in John chapter 6, when most of them abandoned Jesus because they didn't like one of his sermons. His message was not very seeker-sensitive. At the end, he was down to only a handful of disciples when Jesus was arrested, and most of them ran away as he was being tortured and killed. Who could not call this an utter failure? And yet that was the very means that God had ordained that we might be saved. It is true that Jesus was a failure even before the Father in heaven, because Jesus took upon himself our complete failure to keep God's commandments, our complete failure to do good when we knew that we should but did not. He took all of our failures upon himself, and he became so much of a failure before his Father in heaven that his Father turned his face away from his only begotten Son and poured out all the pains of hell upon him. And after it was all finished, Jesus died. And on the cross, failure and death and sin and every evil that have ever been committed by man come into the body of Jesus, and they meet their end. Truly, Jesus, who was there at the beginning when the world was created, and there at the end when all of our sins were put to death, is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In all of this is a will and wisdom of God that vastly surpasses any human understanding. And yet it does not surpass our grasp. For though we cannot comprehend the depth of Jesus' suffering, nor the great love which the Father has for us through his Son, that love and forgiveness, that destiny in heaven as his dear children, is ours even so. He places it into our hands as our inheritance, ready and waiting for us on the last day. The beginning and the end of our faith is assured, for we are born in Christ and we die in him. But in the meantime, we live in this world, and each day we face the challenge of living according to God's Spirit and not walking in that pride and arrogance of our flesh that makes all of its plans without giving a single thought to the will of God. Therefore, let us be wise, not in our own intellect, but with the wisdom which God gave to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And always remember the cross under which we live. In the new year, God may well grant us peace and health and success in all of our labors. Or he may give us many trials to bear and perhaps even our death. But whether we succeed or fail, whether we live or die, we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we live and die in him and with him. Therefore, as we order our lives, let us first acknowledge the will of the Lord. We do not know whether we will live or whether our plans will come to fruition. Indeed, we know for certain that in time the whole world will fail. It will be destroyed, and all of the things which we plan for today will then meet their end, and they will not last. Nothing we build with the goods of this world will remain, except for the good works which we do in the name and by the strength of our Lord Jesus. Those will follow us into eternal life, because our Lord cherishes the good that we do in his name, just as a loving father cherishes the good that his children do. And this too we know for certain, that we are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and all of our goodness and our life is in him. May God go with you in the new year, reminding you of this extravagant goodness which he has shown to you in his Son Jesus Christ, by forgiving you all your sins and making you his children, so that you might cheerfully order your lives according to his will and always be ready to yield to his commandments, which are always for your good. God grant this unto you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.
O God, the Father everlasting, who didst manifest thyself in the flesh, in the person of thy Son Jesus, whom thou didst send to a wicked and perverse world, we give thanks to thee for the great love with which thou hast loved us, and for the redemption thou hast worked for us in thy holy child, Jesus. As thine unworthy servants, we acknowledge our transgressions, and we perceive the great wickedness of the world, whose evil is so deep as to take the lives of those children whom we remember before thee this day. Help us to see how great the evil of the world is, and to seek after righteousness and all those things which pertain to our salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst defend and save thy people everywhere. Especially do we pray this day for all who are persecuted for thy name and truth's sake. Bring to nothing every evil counsel and purpose which would hinder the hallowing of thy name and prevent the coming of thy kingdom. By thine almighty power and wisdom, overthrow all who hate thy word and hurt thy people. Break down all those who would exalt themselves above thy glory, and who are wise in their own conceit and arrogance. Let no flesh glory in thy presence. Cast down vain imaginations of human power and grandeur, and pull down the strongholds of that false wisdom which denies honor to thee. Then, Father of all mercy, grant strength and faith, wisdom and courage, grace and every blessing to those who are oppressed for Christ's sake. Reveal to them the deep things of the Spirit to support and sustain them. Give them a full measure of the fullness of Christ. Show them that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. Give them the victory which overcomes the world, and the faith that transcends all adversity. Hear our prayer for all children, and grant that in Christ their holy angels may keep them from all harm. Protect them from neglect or from overindulgence, from false teaching, and from all who would destroy their faith. And bring them all in thine own time into thine everlasting kingdom. We ask all these things in the name of him, even thy Son, Jesus Christ, who in his birth sanctified all childhood. Amen. We sing hymn number 99.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the name of the Lord.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 124. Be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have a voters meeting immediately following the service here. And we have Epiphany service on Wednesday. That'll be at 7:30, our typical Vespers time.